Miles, what's up, Miles?
I swear we're getting higher pitched every week, or at least I am.
I feel like we get higher pitched when we're trying to cover up, like we're pretending to be excited, you know?
Oh yeah.
If you're really excited, you're like, oh my god, this is so crazy, this is awesome, I'm so happy. And then if you pretend to be excited, you're like, oh my god, oh my god,
oh my, god, he's ready.
How's it going? I mean, how's it going?
It's all right. Yeah. Well, despite all that enthusiasm, yeah. I'm here for my endorphin pick me up from the community. Like, this is going to make me feel good. It's been a pretty rubbish week, and I'm ready to hang out with you, hang out with the Game Cats. It's going to be really, really good fun. How's that for a mixed bag of an intro?
It's a little bit of a mixed bag, but let's keep the mixed bag going and make all the audio listeners feel really left out. I got to share this. This is something I saw right before we went live. Or Seek the Game Cat created a flowchart. Here it is. this is how he thinks my brain works, and I think he's pretty spot on, to be honest with you. This is how he thinks that I figure out whether a game will get a Brian bite or a review, an actual review, or we're just going to talk about it on Gamescast. And if you follow this and see how fucking insane it is, it's pretty accurate. Like, it's really good. It's really good.
Got you sussed.
If you're an audio listener, make sure you come check this thing out. We're not going to spend time on it. I just had to show it to everybody. I love it. Dude, you ready to start the show?
Let's start the show, Brian.
Let's go. This is PSVR Gamescast Live. We film live every single Monday, Wednesday, and Two Eyes Friday right here on YouTube without parole, 6 p.m. Eastern. We do it live for your viewing pleasure, but we also care about your oral pleasure. That's why, yeah, that's the right organ. You pointed to it. That's why our friend Rypop uploads this on podcast services of your choice. Guys, don't worry if there's too much talking for you. We get it. That's why Rhodey, the Gamecat Army General, puts up timestamps into the show a little after the fact. He's on tour right now, which means timestamps are happening much later than usual. I know what you're about to say. Hold on. Put your hand down. Put your hand down. I'll get to you next, Miles. You will be the first person I call on after I'm done talking. I swear. So timestamps are a little later than usual. Now, Miles, what would you like to say about Rhodey?
Oh, Rhodey.
Yep.
I was just gonna say, like, it's all gone a bit haywire lately. No, I'm gonna be hanging out with Rhodey tomorrow. He's on tour, and I think he's just come down from Glasgow in Scotland, and so I'm gonna be going to the O2 Arena in London and hanging out with him. So yeah, he was very kind to say, hey, do you want to come to the show? So some country music. Yep. So I kid you not, I sent him a message earlier today, and I said, dude, I have an actual, like, proper, although proper is not very American, that's a very British thing to say, but a really, really cool official cowboy hat that I got in Texas 15 years ago. Would it be an issue if I wore it tomorrow? And he went, dude, if there was a time to wear it, it's tomorrow. So I've got cowboy blessings. So I'm going to be hanging out with him. So I'll definitely get a photo of him and put it on the Discord. But it's always awesome. Amazing. And obviously he's not going to be at the meetup. So yeah.
So you're getting the best of both worlds. You get to meet and hang out with Rhodey, who's fucking awesome. And you're going to be at the meetup. Speaking of which, Gamecat Chicago here in the chat. The $2 tip says, sad I can't attend PAX. Y'all are the best. I mean, I guess that's what happens when you live in Chicago. Although I guess living on the other side of the world didn't stop you. I guess what we have to do, Miles, since it worked for us, we have to create a GoFundMe for Gamecat Chicago to get to PAX East. Right? Is that how this is going to work?
Right.
Right.
Maybe that'll be next.
Miles, I want to talk to Samson. 143 VR.
You want to talk to Samson?
Flapping to the moon like that bitch Alice Cramden. $5 tip. It says, happy Friday. Can't wait to see y'all at PAX. Woo!
Awesome.
Woo! Awesome. I feel like I didn't woo enough. Woo.
Yeah. All right, all right. My parents are actually out right now drinking with neighbors, so they're not back yet, so I don't have to worry about waking them up. So woo, woo. And then I find out they were actually back and they were sleeping. But
yeah. Like, why is Miles wooing in the next room?
Yeah,
Miles, what have you been playing? I know that you've had quite the week. What have you been in? What have you been playing? What have you been up to? What's going on?
My dad's friend has been over, who's very kindly been helping with the kitchen work that I've got going on. And he had played PSVR when he actually was helping out with my bathroom years ago. Woo! And I can't remember what games he played back then, but I think it was Beat Saber and it was the fishing game. Catch and release. Is it a catch and release?
Yeah.
That's
a fishing game.
And he loved it. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, dude, this is going to blow your mind. And so I put him in Switchback. He was just blown away from the get-go. He just said, this looks really, really good. And I said, oh, one second. And I put him into Kayak VR just very quickly. And he was blown away. And then I put him into Puzzling Places, just something very stationary to end. And he had an absolute blast of that. So I know the question was, what was I playing? But that was kind of like, I was living through him with those games. And it did make me play a bit of Puzzling Places myself. I mean, that game, man, is so good.
Let's be fair. How else is this going to be a 3-hour show if you don't just ignore my question and answer some other question?
Well, the sure answer is I've not been playing anything this week, really. I actually did splash some money on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And I actually tweeted about it because I had an experience that many gamers will relate to, and it was the fact that I spent £70 on this game, you know, really excited to play it, and then I played 20 minutes of it, and I just wasn't feeling it. And so, I pretty much said I was ready for a trip into nostalgia and excitement. Instead, I played 20 minutes before my depression said, let's just sit this one out. And so I was just like, gamers, if you've ever had to hit pause on life's excitement button, you're not alone, which is true, which, you know, it's we always want to, you know, get caught up in the hype when new things come out. At the end of the day, we play games because we enjoy them. Sometimes they can lift our spirits when we're feeling rubbish, but other times you just don't dig it and you have to come back to it another time, and that's totally okay as well. And so it sounds like a very privileged thing to say of, don't put too much pressure on yourself with forcing yourself to play games. Like, there's a lot worse things to deal with. But I do think that, you know, especially games that are very important to you, and like if there's a VR game you're excited for, which requires you to like put a headset on, do it when you're in the right headspace, because otherwise, if you're not feeling it, you might actually spoil and associate with it, you know, bad feelings that might stick. So the answer is I've not been playing anything this week, except for today, ahead of today's show. So all the games you talk about today, I play today.
That's good. That means we actually have some shit to talk about today. I like that. Just to kind of piggyback on what you said, you know, I think so frequently, man, people forget that games are supposed to be fun, that, you know, VR is supposed to be fun, flat screen game is supposed to be fun. It's all supposed to be fun, and people make it into like this. I mean, I've made it into a job, but that's a totally different situation. Like, most people are not in my shoes. You know, I'd see people, it's like, I don't know, man, like whether it's, you know, whether it's a situation like you're in where you're like, I just don't feel like playing it. It's like, don't play it, man. It's like supposed to be fun. And if you're not feeling it, don't do it. And on top of that, like, you know, I posted my Stilt review last night, and I'm a little embarrassed by not my review, but by the response to it. Because it's just like, man, I've just lost so much faith in gamers. I mean, like, don't you guys remember what it's like to just fucking play a game and have fun? And it's like, oh no, oh, this looks like there's something that can be done on Quest. Oh, this is just another piece of shovelware. I mean, you're making us look bad, guys. You're making us look bad. Like, real bad. It's embarrassing. Learn to have fun again. And then when you learn to have fun again, you know, I mean, you can get mad at me and unsubscribe and be like, oh, Brian, anti-consumer. No, fuck that. I like to play fun games. And I'm so happy that still turned out to be a fun game.
It's a really good point, man, because it often when I do Let's Plays, people, there will be a cohort of the PSVR2 community as a whole that will kind of criticize me for enjoying a game because they're like, how can you enjoy this when there's, and then, you know, they'll list all the top games, which are excellent, excellent games. But the reality is, you can enjoy all types of games of all different qualities and builds and styles. Yeah. And I kind of like living in a world where, you know, I get enjoyment out of, even if there are games that aren't particularly good, sometimes there is still fun to be had there. And I do think that because of people are just striving for the next best VR experience, they're doing it at the cost of enjoying all the stuff that's coming along the way as well. And I think that that kind of expectation heightening is what's ruining a lot that's happening in the gaming industry at the moment. You know, sure. The expectations of everything's got to be triple A, or, you know, it's got to be the next best thing. And we are just sport for choice. But I think, you know, having those smaller games, and obviously Stilt will talk about, I saw your review before I played it myself. And yeah, I'm having a blast with it.
Silver Nexus says, haters gonna hate, game cat's gonna play. Chris Forthenberry says, not all games are fun to everyone though. Right, so stop fucking enjoying it for the people who are having fun. Like, I mean, right. That's it, 100% agree. Not all games are for everybody. Fucking, why you gotta shit on the ones that aren't for you?
Right.
Like, recognize that there's an audience for them. Period, easy.
It's like, yeah, it's like instead of attacking, it's about ego, isn't it? It's like instead of attacking people for their enjoyment, you can literally say, this game isn't for me because of this. Not, I don't know, attacking the person for enjoying it, or, you know, being disingenuous. It's the whole thing, like, you know, and this community knows us better, well, should know us good by now, that, you know, we don't make shit up. Like, that would be really boring. How boring would it be doing your channel if you were just, like, writing opinions that you didn't hold?
Exactly. All right, man, let's check out some of these tips, and then we'll get the show rolling. How did I fall this behind on tips? Vargelsoft with the $5 says, Akka Arg, my eyes. Dude, let's talk about Akka Arg. Vargelsoft pushed us off into that direction, so let's talk about it. So this is the cover story. Somehow this is one of those games. This happens very frequently to me, Miles. There's just something about certain games where I'm just like, I just push them off and push them off and push them off. And even though they're sitting on my hard drive for weeks or even upwards of a month, I just don't get around to them. And so the very
we had this super early,
like a month ago.
And I just
didn't play it until today. And unfortunately, I don't want to start this off with a bad note, but I'm going to. This is sort of exactly what I expected it to be. You know, like Jeff Minter does one thing very, very well, and that's like these kind of old school classic Atari style games with tons of, you know, projectile effects and making things look really, really cool in VR. And I think you just have to be in the right mood for it. And so when I push something off until the absolute last minute and say, oh, I need some impressions for this right before the show, this isn't the kind of game I wanted to play today. And I do feel like it's a game that I will want to play at some point. But unfortunately, my first impressions aren't great because it wasn't the kind of mood that I was in. I didn't feel like chasing the high scores. I didn't feel like, you know, just doing this kind of like old school classic arcade thing. The cool thing about it is that it is actually, the story goes, is that it is a classic arcade game. It's an Atari prototype that never became a full-fledged game. Jeff Minter got a hold of it and brought it to fruition, made it a full-fledged game. And that's what we've got here. So that's pretty cool. That's like this thing from the 80s that just never got released. I think that's cool. What did you think of it? Did you have a better time with it than I did?
When I started playing it in the tutorial, I was like, it keeps telling me tips, which I'm already doing already. Like, each tip was like telling you something that you've done already. Like, I'm kind of getting this. It's about making chain reactions. So you fire these like bombs and it will destroy these, I'm not going to use the right terminology, but like these enemies around you, and then they explode, and those waves can explode others, and so you can make a chain reaction, which definitely made me think of the fireworks game we've got on PSVR2, which is a lot about chain reactions. Yeah, which I enjoyed. So I completed the tutorial, and I kind of feel like I hope there are more mechanics coming in the main game. I played a bit of the main game, but then I moved on to other stuff. And yeah, I do think it's a game you've got to be in the right headspace for. I think that people that were from that era of gaming will probably appreciate it a lot more as well. Because for me, it's just like, and you know, we were talking earlier about just because things aren't the top of the pack doesn't mean you can't enjoy them. I do think there is some enjoyment to have here. But at the same time, Enhance, who does Tetris Effect and all these, just they've nailed the sort of bringing in retro games to the VR space in terms of true immersion. But at the same time, I thought this was quirky. Embarrassingly, because I was in such a rush today, I don't think I was playing it properly, because the bottom left corner for all my entire gameplay kept on saying connect the DualSense controller.
Were you not playing with the DualSense?
No, I was playing with the Sense controllers.
Oh, I gave up on it very quickly with the Sense controllers, because I was like, oh, clearly I'm supposed to be using the DualSense. And so I just dropped
this. I was super tempted, and then I was like, no, I'm going to stick with this. Now, I assume with the DualSense controllers, you can move your character around or not.
So
it is the same.
They call it a turret. You're literally a turret. You're in the middle of the screen, and you're protecting it. Yep. It's
okay.
The whole thing to me just plays like Asteroids, but with a ton more rules. Right? It's like they took That's Asteroids exactly and just blew all of the rules mechanics out of the water. And then forced you to stay stationary. It's interesting because you've got all these, like, you know, lives or whatever that are floating on a layer below you, and some of the enemies, if they get too close, they can actually sink down to that layer.
Which I never got to that part. Like, I played for quite a lot, and I never had that issue. And I was like, oh, there's probably no issue to go there. So maybe I've got to play a lot longer to get there.
I guess I was just really bad at this, because it happened to me very quickly after they introduced it. And so you hit R2, and then you sink down to the layer below, and then you have to eliminate the enemy there, and then, boom, you come right back and you know, get back to work. It felt to me like a Virtual Boy game. Virtual Boy games were very much two-layered. It was, hey, here's Wario in the foreground. Oh, you're going to, like, boom, you're going to go back to this background layer, right? Yes, there was, like, you know, 3D, but this feels like a game that would be perfect for the Virtual Boy. I'm looking forward to spending more time with it when my head is in the right place for it, because today, I was sick yesterday. I'm still sick today. And so please take all of my impressions on anything I did today with a grain of salt, because yeah, I'm just, if it was up to me, I would have just stayed in bed all day and watched YouTube. So
that's fair enough. Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is one of those, I'm going to call it like a pocket game. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you'll know from looking at it if it's your kind of thing, and it might be a nice thing to have on your PS5 to jump in and out of. A game that I would relate that to is Vectrex Worlds. Mm-hmm. Vectrex Worlds is a game I keep going back to every so often. I have an absolute blast with that game. Yeah, I really enjoy that game. And I kind of wish more people played it, just because when I look at the high scores, it's like 6 people. And yeah, I think it deserves just so much more love. So Vectrex is a game that wouldn't be like my top recommendation for people, but it's one I'm definitely glad I've got on my PS5, and it's nice to go back to. And so this game in particular, I wouldn't actually write off. I am actually interested to see where the game goes in that. But it was a bit of a slow start. And I think the ultimate test with this game, because of the way it works, is when you get really far into the game and then you die and it's game over, mm-hmm. are you going to be like, okay, let's go again and see if I can beat it? Usually the test with these games. And my feeling at the moment from what I've played is I might not get that feeling, but it's too early to judge. But I can't feel the hook yet, but we'll see.
See, the thing is, Jeff Minter gets a lot of love out there. Obviously, he's been the creative mind behind a lot of things. Like, he was the reason that, you know, I want to say he was the creator of Tempest, but I don't know if he was just, or if it was just Tempest 2000 or what it was. But as far as, like, you know, VR stuff, he gets a lot of love because of Polybius. Polybius was, like, fantastic, and I don't think that... for me personally, I don't think Moose Life ever came up to that. I don't think Goat Up ever came up to that level. I just don't, like, I think he gets a lot of love, and I think what he does is really cool. I just think Polybius was like the easy one to love, and everything else, it's like, you've got to be an old school gamer to kind of appreciate. And I mean, I've been around for a long time. Like, I grew up on these games. So, my hope is that I will appreciate this when I spend a little bit more time with it. Miles, we've got the next tip from newcomer with the 45 Donkey Kong countries. He says, while I've battled the flu, you and me both. I keep saying flu. I don't think I actually have the flu. I've had to make do with a little flat gaming, and boy, did I miss the immersion of VR. Thanks for the Stilt review, by the way. Let's fucking do it, Miles. You've been playing some Stilt.
Did play some Stilt. I haven't played as much as you have, because you got right to the end, to the boss. First things first, it looks really good in the headset. I was impressed with like the clarity of it. I don't know why I say that. I just think it's very easy with these games to come to them and go, is it going to be well optimized? I think it's a well optimized game for what it is. I like the very beginning where you're looking in the mirror and seeing the character that you're playing as. I am really trash at it at the moment, and I look forward to... It's basically when you're trying to get onto high ledges, and I always, like, throw myself over. Obviously, that's the fun of the game, is being clumsy. But I did like in your review, you spoke about... Was it Quop, I think, was the old game where...
Yeah, I was thinking about Quop when I was writing the review, but the game I referenced was Octodad.
Which is definitely a much more contemporary, I think, more widely known. But Quop was, yeah, old school. I got the feeling that's what the game was going to be. But I think if it was, it would have been more frustrating. This is clearly fun, and you're going to get hang of the mechanics.
Yeah.
Not as much so. Sorry, more so than on the game Toss. Toss is a game where you really have to get at the hang of the. Well, tossing, like literally knowing the mechanics of throwing yourself across and getting that momentum.
Yep.
I think that this is actually a lot more to get your head around, because it's kind of like, how do you get height? And you have to teach yourself very early. It's not about where your head is positioned, because you're like, oh, my head's over the edge. It's like, no, it's where your hands are, because your hands are your feet. So as long as your feet are on the ledge, you're all right. And so, again, you touched on it in your review. There's a lot of... it's a very novel and unique way of traversing an environment, which makes it really entertaining. And like, there's lots of collectibles. It has like a hub that feels like, you know, classic Mario games and that. And also, I just want to say, like, VR Kiwi just are another publisher that I feel bring a lot of really interesting VR experiences to PSVR 2, and I really appreciate them for it, because they did Towers and Powers recently, which I really enjoyed, and so to see them bring this out, it's a game that I'm really glad's on the platform, and is going to be a game that I'm going to play until the end, and possibly go for the platinum, although it sounds like it could be quite tricky. I think
it's a very fair platinum. I don't believe you have to get every stamp. I don't believe you have to get every present. I don't believe you have to. They set a number. They say get 100 of the presents. Get this many of the stamps. Get, you know, bounce this many times. I don't think once you beat the game, I think you just have to go back and, you know, spend a few hours kind of knocking out whatever the requirements are. I don't think you have to 100% the game. And so I think this is actually like, which I'm very thankful for, because I think 100% this game would be super stressful. And so I think it's, for me, it was this perfect balance, because I do think it takes a little while to get the hang of the controls, but then once you get the hang of them, it's not Octodad, it's not Quap, because it's very precise. I didn't even find Toss that precise. I felt like if I did the same kind of thrust, that kind of like, if I throw myself this much this time and then this much the next time, I feel like both of those throws were going to be very different in terms of, you know, how far I get thrown. This to me feels like once you get the hang of it, and once you understand how much force you need, you're always going to bounce exactly how far you think you should bounce.
Yes.
And so as crazy as it feels at the beginning, I think ultimately it's an insanely precise locomotion system. And the game starts ramping up knowing that, hey, he's mastered that shit. And now, now try to master this. I get to some insanely hard parts, and I was like, am I even doing this right, you know? And then because I'm doing wall jumps, I'm like hitting the springs off of each wall to bounce up.
Oh wow,
I was like,
nice.
I think that's the only way up here. I think that's what they're making me do. And I get to the top and I went, I don't know if I did that right, but I'm here. Like, it's like, you know, I did things, there were levels that I had to do 10 times, 15 times to get him down. And so I love that it's kind of old school in its design, in the sense that like they don't mind challenging you, but at the same time it's relatively new, like more of a new school platformer, because you have an infinite number of lives. And you know, I think they're pretty generous with the continues, if you don't mind going around collecting stamps.
Yeah, I agree with that, for sure.
Dude, this game is for people who are disappointed with Toss to a degree. Let me say this. This game is for people who love Toss and want something that's more full-fledged. And this is for people who are disappointed with Ven VR Adventure. And like say, hey, here is a true VR platformer for you that like actually has the depth and actually has what you're looking for. If this thing had boss fights every five levels, I would have enjoyed it even more.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Silver Nexus saying, watching me do a Let's Play might help some commit to the game. Just to say, one of the reasons I've been so late with a lot of these games, I've got like a batch of 8 or 9 now, is I am waiting until I move back to mine and I can start doing live streams again. I did bring a green screen with me here, but the setup's not working properly. So with all these games that I'm sort of giving my thoughts on, I will be playing them from the start again on my live streams in the next couple of weeks. And so hopefully they'll push people over the line one way or another. But yeah.
Jacob Zenner with the $2 tip says PSVR 2 plus Steam equals next generation VR.
Yeah.
Jacob's a fortune teller. He can see into the future. He knows it's going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hope so. The hope, of course, is that bringing the PSVR 2 and making it over to PC and making it compatible, officially compatible, will allow developers to take full use of the eye tracking and use dynamic foveated rendering on PC. And then it just becomes the standard, not to mention the adaptive triggers. It just becomes a standard where, you know, this is what VR gaming is now, right? And we've taken it to the next level. So let's hope so. Let's knock out one or two more tips, and then we'll get back. We'll actually pay attention to our run of show. Professor Lewis with the $5 tip says Sunday's multiplayer is Demio. Gonna say, guys, I hope the following Sunday is Stilt, because the multiplayer is fucking bonkers and much fun. I'm so sad you missed out on our multiplayer session, Miles. It was like we just laughed hysterically for like an hour. But this Sunday, guys, if you're not familiar with our Sunday multiplayer stuff, Professor Lilith runs it, and every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, she gets everyone together on our Discord, and then you guys will go play some multiplayer games. These are games that have been probably sitting on your hard drive, and you're like, how come no one's playing them? Well, here you go. People are playing them. Demio, Slay Monsters, Skulk and Shadows, Summon Thunderstorms, 2 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, thanks to Friend at Court. Friend at Court organized it. Thank you very much for stepping up. Violator the Game Cat Metal Messiah with a $20 tip says Tip Train. Woohoo! Thank you so much for your generosity. Every so often the noise canceling cuts Miles out.
Is that right?
Yeah, we didn't get any toot from you.
I will be losing the game show mic once I'm back at my studio.
I can't wait, personally.
yeah. Brian has been able to put up with a lot of it. Also, can I just do a quick shout out also, because a lot of people were asking, like, this shirt. The reason I'm wearing this today, for those that don't know, was unfortunately the creator of Dragon Ball Z, and he was a pioneer in manga, Akira Toriyama, and forgive you if I fucked up his last name, but he died age 68 today, and man, it was just a shock. And just seeing people share on social media, a lot of people were sharing the outro to Dragon Ball Super, which I never watched that series, and it was like a really nice overview of just like so much. I mean, as a kid, I used to get these pens to learn to draw manga characters, because I always wanted to be able to draw manga, and I just couldn't hack it. I'm really, really envious of people that can. But so it was just a no-brainer to wear a Dragon Ball Z top for it. Did you ever watch Dragon Ball Z growing up, or Dragon Ball, or any of the series, Brian?
No. I missed out on pretty much all of that stuff, unfortunately. But definitely a huge loss, obviously, for the community today. Very sad.
Yeah. Make a Dragon Ball Z VR game in his honor.
Then I could get in some Dragon Ball Z.
That's what I won that. Yeah.
I mean, I guess when it comes to like older stuff like that, the ones I was most interested in was like One Piece, where every time I think about One Piece, I always try to convince myself I want to start on episode 1. And there's like over 1,000 episodes now, which means I'll never get caught up. The series does move really slowly, so this is not...
Well, the funny thing about Dragon Ball Z was, this is oversimplification, but you'd have the Japanese version, which was hardcore, really good fight scenes, they swore at each other. Oh. It then got sent to the States, where it got dubbed into English,
right.
And they cut out a lot of it. And so to make sure the episode times were still longer, most of the episodes are the characters breathing heavy. I'm going to defeat you. I'm charging up. I'm going to be more powerful than you.
That's
and it's
amazing.
Just like six, you know, seven episodes of them just breathing heavily saying they're going to beat each other. And then by the time it got to the UK, it was edited even more. So as a kid, when the internet finally like allowed you to like download video, downloaded all the Japanese fan subs and stuff, like, oh man, those were the days.
Thundercat TGC, I can't read this, with the 5 quid, says, Brian, this should be enough for some multivitamins, dude. Get some sleep. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I've been kind of trying to fight through it a little bit. Yesterday was tough to finish up the Stilt review. Nothing worse than staring at like a bright monitor when your eyes hurt. You're like, ah, right. And so I really want to figure out a way to do PSVR this week. Usually at this point, PSVR this week would already be scripted and voiced, and I would just have to sit here all night and edit. I don't even have that. I'd have nothing. So we'll see if PSVR this week happens this weekend or not. But thank you, Thundercat. Appreciate the support. Silver Nexus with the $10 tip. It says, Tip Train Connect. Choo-choo Game Cats, who will be the caboose? That's like saying, who will be the bottom? We're having a big-ass orgy.
Wow.
I just scared a lot of people off. Guffaluff with the
Guffaluff
International Skating... kite flying. International... Have you ever flown a kite while skating, Miles? Guffaluff has, and he's done it 750 times.
As in the
times.
Ones that pull you along?
Sure.
Or not.
Flying by the seat of our pants today, Miles. If that sounds right to you, that's what we're doing.
That'd be a great VR game.
International skating kiting. 750 of them. Says, I always catch the VOD, finally watching live. Keep up the good work, lads. Greeting from Iceland. P.S. We are in dire need of a fishing game. Oh, damn. Yeah. Back where we started. I've tried to get in touch with, is it Jason Garber, the developer of Catch and Release? Because clearly, out of all the fishing games we ever got on PlayStation VR 1, that was the best by far. And people were constantly giving him suggestions, being like, oh man, we'd love you could upgrade the rowboat to like a motorboat or something. And like, kind of, like, oh, we need two players on the lake. We don't want just one. We want multiple lakes, you know, like, kept giving him like hundreds of suggestions about, what would make a great Catch and Release 2. Really. I think at this point it's like, you know, Catch and Release 1 was amazing, but let's see what Catch and Release 2 would be all about. And he's disappeared, man. Like, I cannot get in touch with him. I hope he's okay. If anybody knows Jason Garber personally, please, for the love of God, get in touch with him and let me know that he's okay. I did an interview with him pre-COVID, or right around the time COVID started, I think. And I just haven't talked to him since. So fingers crossed, because Catch and Release was amazing. And also, he seems like a great dude. What's up? Hold on a second. Just trying. The chat was going too fast, and I lost track of people that I was trying to give a shout out to. Oh man, now I've ruined it all. Oh well, I've ruined it all. Chrome Colossus with the $10 tip says, I'm wondering if Stilt is a game I need to play after relocating my VR space. I have to avoid any game that requires wild overhead gesticulating, lest I C-smash my glass lampshade again. Put that fucking lamp somewhere else. Listen, I have a very small play space. I don't know if anybody knows this. Everybody should know this. My apartment is crazy small, and there's like, I have like 2.5 square feet to play VR games in. I make it work, but there were times that I got down a little bit low and punched my bed, which was just at my knee. And I was like, why did I even punch that? Like, what am I doing? You know? But you shouldn't need too much space to play Stilt. I do feel like it's a relatively controlled game. People think that you're going to be swinging your arms all over the place. It's really not. It's a lot of just like this. Like,
it's down below you, right? Pushing down off the floor. So yeah, you're not reaching for stuff, are you?
No. I mean, like, you know, if you could, if you've thrown yourself up close to a ledge, you know, then you're going to give it a nice pound before to get your bounce up there. And then, yeah, I mean, you reach out a little bit and try to get your stilts onto the ledge to pull yourself up, you know, almost like climbing. But I don't think you're going to have your hands above your head, like really at any point playing stilt. I don't think so, at least. You're probably going to be okay, Chrome Colossus. Miles, let's tackle a little bit of the news that's going on here today in PSVR 2 land. The first one I think worth bringing up is a post from the PlayStation blog, March 8th. That's today.
The charts.
It is indeed. The PlayStation Store, February 2024, top downloads. This comes to us from, I got to blow this up. I can't read. I don't know if you guys know this, but I can't read. Justin Corey, PlayStation blog correspondent. Is this the first time we've heard of a blog correspondent? Did they hire somebody to like make the blog better? I don't know. Anyway, we got PlayStation 5 games. We got PS4 games and then PSVR 2 games. This is what's most important, obviously. And the most important thing I think on this list, you know, other than seeing some pretty cool entries like Ultra Wings a little further down the list and Five Nights Help Wanted 2, Switchback. These are all like bottom half of the list. Legendary Tales is number one.
Did that cut out?
It cut out, yeah, totally. Legendary Tales is number one.
Which... so high pitch. It's like it's got the dog, you know, only dogs can hear it. It's that high pitch.
Yeah. If anybody's dog is listening, please let us know. If they're responding to Miles. Legendary Tales launched at, what was it, $55? And, I mean, you know, that might have been on the high side. You know, maybe my recommended price should have been slightly lower. But it's such a good game. I said recommended, just buy it at full price. It's great. You'll get get a lot of time out of it, if nothing else. Does not seem like the price was an issue. Miles, this seems like a pretty good sign for bigger, fuller-fledged games coming to VR. Agreed?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I think it comes down to communication with the VR community. Mm-hmm. If you're a developer, talking with the community and being open about it, I think goes such a long way. Like, I think it just comes with the fact... Actually, no, it's done on flat-screen games as well, and obviously it's harder with bigger projects. But I think that the way they were that forthright about... And it doesn't mean you've always got to be forthright about every part of your situation. But they genuinely were just saying, look, this is why we've made it. This is what we've got in mind. We'd love to hear your thoughts. You get a real sense of where people are coming from. Whereas if you're developing and you just put a game up there and hope it's going to do well, I think a big part of marketing is about engagement with the community. And so not to take away from the game itself, the game is excellent. And it really took me by surprise. But to be honest... from the trailer at State of Play, I was not sold on it. And I was like, yeah, it might be. But, you know, yeah. But obviously, I was going to give it a go. It was only when I dived in, I went, oh, my goodness, this is. And then when actually the devs joined us and started showing us how to craft weapons and stuff. And I was like, that is VRAF. I do think it speaks a lot to the way that they've conducted themselves as well. And you know, they're a small team. They were working ridiculous hours. And I don't obviously promote... working ridiculous hours and crunch, but I do think there is a lot to say about the way that they've gone about everything here. They are a true example in a lot of different ways of how you make a PSVR 2 game.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, it's been really interesting to see the I don't know if you call it a complete turnaround or if maybe their eyes were just opened a little bit, because they really did start listening to the community when it didn't seem like they were going to at first. They were like, oh, we don't want to. You know, like this isn't a game that we think you should be playing seated. And then they're like, well, but we'll throw in a seated mode. You know, like they just kind of listen to, or so far they've been listening to every suggestion. And it seems like they've really been taking each one to heart and saying, you know, trying to figure out if it's something they should implement or not. So it's changing.
And I do think that comes in part to the fact that when suggestions are made, their first response is going to be saying, we did think about this, and this was our reasoning for it. And that's a completely fair response. And then at least the community goes, okay, but we still think there should be a seated mode. And you know, they I think they did say they he gave a week off for the full team, you know, to rest after launch and that. So removing that time they took off, it actually got put in pretty instantly. So I think even in that sense, they were very responsive and actually, again, were good at communicating their reasoning for doing stuff. So yeah, it was good to see.
Let's just see how PSVR1 games are doing real quick here. Walking Dead Onslaught, it must have been a store. I mean, it must have been a
sale. I was actually just looking, because I hadn't seen the EU list, and I couldn't believe number one for PSVR2 was Forever Bowl. But was the sale in the US? Because, you know, the $2?
We didn't have a sale. You guys had it for £2, and we got it, and it didn't go on sale for us.
So this is based on units, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why it's number one, because everybody was like, oh, $2, I'll fucking buy that. So
yeah, I knew loads of people. It was like, should I spend $2 on it? And I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, give it a go.
It is funny that you got to wonder here in the States how close the Legendary Tales and Beat Saber were in sales, because seeing over there in Europe, Beat Saber still beat out Legendary Tales again. You got to wonder that's if true. It was close call here too.
Pavlov is still holding up pretty strong, which is good to see, and I'm pretty impressed by Among Us. Not surprised. Among Us, I keep diving into from time to time, is really, really good.
It's good,
and also
too.
Creed. Yeah, no, absolutely. Creed is good to see that. You know, I think Creed's a really solid game. It's definitely the definitive version. I think there's a good mix there. Good mix of games, and good to see Dark Pictures Switchback still on the charts in the US.
Barely holding on.
Hanging in there.
Yep. Well, speaking of Beat Saber, I feel like we should talk about some Beat Saber. Miles.
One more time.
I mean, but this will be the last time. Like, one more time. One more time. One more time. One more time. Oh, wait, those are all the fucking lyrics. God damn it, dude.
Gotta celebrate. One more time.
Guess who found out today that he's not a Daft Punk fan?
Oh, no. I was saying that. I was actually watching our conversation about it, and I said that it's going to be one of those things that you, even if you don't think you're going to like it, you're going to play it and go, oh, no, I totally get this, and I love this. So, you know, you didn't.
Okay. I mean, again, it was, you know, I played two songs one time, and it had been a while.
Which two were they? Because
One More Time, and then one of the versions of Around the World.
One More Time and One More Time.
played One More Time twice, just to define.
Yeah, when I was choosing the second song, I was just like, okay, One More Time. Right. I have to say, now look, this is going to be a double-edged sword here. I love basically the themes, and I joked earlier on Twitter that it's brought two of my favorite things together, Beat Saber and Daft Punk, but actually there's a third favorite thing that's in there as well. I love the color teal, and the fact that teal is in the color scheme. It's actually something I add to my custom look, because it's red and teal on the right. Love it.
Not when I play, and not in this footage, because my brain can only deal with red and blue. So I changed it after I completely failed my first try.
That's fair. Yep. The map design's really good. I think the mapping, I have to say this again and again with the team that works at Beat Saber, and I know it was like maybe a year and a half ago that they brought in a whole new team of modders from the community. They brought them in and they give them tracks each. And every DLC has its own personality. And I've not played all the tracks. But yeah, in terms of the theme, the mapping, how it feels for Daft Punk, I think is absolutely excellent. Criticism I have is there's a lot of overlap, and I know it happens in the EDM scene. So you have like harder, better, stronger, faster, stronger, mm-hmm. and then you've got it with Around the World, and then you've got Around the World by itself, and there's like a lot of live versions, which again is fine. And look, this is going to be a problem with all of these DLCs. What about this song? There were some other Daft Punk songs I just would have died to have seen in there, like Aerodynamic or Digital Love, that I think would have... They're more like songs, like in terms of like... The thing about Daft Punk is a lot of their music is, especially in the early days, it's repetitive. I don't want to say repetitive. It's repeating bars because there's this progression as things build up more and more. Which is great, but in terms of people that want to play songs, that's going to be harder to do. So look, I'm not here to criticize what they've done. It's excellent. It's Daft Punk. But I do feel like they could have had a couple of other tracks in there that I think would have maybe helped build out to people that perhaps were less familiar with it. But yeah.
Yeah, I definitely could have used some of that, it sounds like. I saw who did I just see in the chat here say, you know, this they're not my 80s band. I want The Cure. Here it is. Gaza Camba Blue Game Cat says, not my 80s or 90s band. Give me The Cure, please. Best Brit band I have seen many times. Yeah, and I think that's the problem for me. It's just like, again, don't please everyone remember where my mental state is today. Basically, I would have preferred to be in bed watching a movie I'd seen 100 times. I wasn't interested in listening to music I'm not very familiar with, and or really even being challenged all that much today. I will say, I mean, and please, I also understand how important this band is to a lot of people. So I'm very, very happy that you guys got a band that you have been waiting to see in Beat Saber. I really hope I get my My Chemical Romance or The Used or The Pink Spiders or you know, I'll take Back Sunday at this point. I hope when I finally get that, you guys are happy for me. It goes around, comes around. I just found this easy. I found the mapping to be easy. Like on Expert, I feel like I should have struggled more than this. I haven't checked out Expert Plus, but this to me was like, this feels like hard mode on Expert. I actually had to check when I was done with this because I'm like, why did this feel so easy?
And with the repetition,
I was just like, wow, I'm kind of just zoning out a little bit.
That's fair enough. And I do think this is the problem that Beat Saber has, is there are some artists who notoriously are like, imagine it at a higher difficulty than it is, like the Camellia tracks. If you're playing it on hard, it's actually an Expert track. If you're playing on Expert, it's definitely an Expert Plus track.
Right.
If you're playing on Expert Plus, it is
brutal,
ridiculous, like off the charts. And I kind of feel like, I don't know, they must have some rules in the company of like, this is the rules for what is a hard track and this is what an Expert is. But I think that with all these new mechanics and that, I feel like they've kind of lost their way now, where, I don't want to say lost their way because that sounds a bit too harsh, but like, I feel that it's not so clear cut anymore. You kind of like, if I had people over to play a game and they were choosing the difficulty, I kind of feel like, I suppose on the easier levels, it matters less. But a part of me is kind of like, I would have to sort of know the tracks myself to be able to tell them, oh no, that's going to be way, way too hard for you. You want to take it even easier, which is such a minor problem. But I do think difficulties, Linkin Park was a great example. That is a really difficult DLC.
It is.
Like I felt everything was one notch harder. And it wasn't necessarily because of maybe the rules of like how many blocks are on. It was just because of the rudiments and stuff. So that could be a part of it as well.
Right. Right. Agreed. Again, just happy it's here. And I'm happy that I finally get to check it out. And again, when I'm in a better state of mind, I'll be going back. And because I did go and play some of my favorite songs after this and started kind of getting more into the Beat Saber groove. The final thing I'll say about my experience with this today was that I missed the Move controllers for it. I really do. It's not something anybody with even 2 or 3 remaining brain cells should be saying about VR at all. But I missed the Move controllers for Beat Saber. It just feels so much better to play this game with Move controllers than it does with the Sense controllers.
I mean, yeah, on the Sense controllers, you feel it kind of rocking in your hands, don't you? Kind of like you feel like you're cradling something in your hands. Whereas the Move controllers felt like lightsabers. Yeah.
100%. So, but that's
last thing I'll say about it is please. Beautiful theme, and I just love the fact they have the Daft Punk heads in the background with the lyrics come up. What I haven't tried yet is playing other tracks on that map to see what they do or what happens. But for me, it's like if you're a Daft Punk fan, this is a must own. You know, I always think this, that if there's a DLC and you're not particularly keen on it, I always think buy at least one track just so you get the themes. Like that can be kind of cool. But I do kind of wish the themes got brought into multiplayer. And for me, this is the big thing. We talked about it on previous shows lots and lots, so I'm not going to go on it at length here. But what for me Beat Saber needs is an expansion of the multiplayer experience. Yep. I do enjoy playing multiplayer with it, but without a progression system and stuff like that, and like ways of customizing your character more or unlocking stuff, I just feel like that would make Beat Saber be an undeniable top like 10 PSVR 2 game, whereas at the moment I'm like, it's kind of just floating along as a solid game that everyone should experience, but the only thing going for it is an ever-expanding catalog. I want to see more innovation, but yeah, that's just me.
APUKDCFC, it's going to stand for something. I see him all the time.
APUK, I always say, but yeah.
Of course. He says Nirvana would be cool in Beat Saber, feeling like Dave Grohl smashing those blocks. Agreed. That's why when the one Nirvana song we've ever gotten was Smells Like Teen Spirit in that mixtape DLC, it didn't feel like we were Dave Grohl. I felt like that was one map, one map that I felt like they kind of totally screwed up. I was really disappointed with that. All right, man, let's
talk. That would be a good one.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take Foo Fighters, I'll take Nirvana. I love Dave Grohl.
I'd love to also a DLC from Hope Sugoin, who did what was that classic, Baby Shark? That'd be awesome.
Like Baby Shark, do Baby
Shark. Yeah, that's the one.
Hold on, with the rest of the words, Baby Shark, do Baby Shark.
Or was that a Daft Punk song?
Mommy Shark, Mommy Shark, Okay. One more news story, and then one more first impression, and then we'll play some 20 questions. Dude.
Whoa.
I know, right? Today we got a little bit of news that maybe I should have been expecting, especially after Wednesday's show when Wes tried to like be like, dude, read the signs. It's happening. The Overdark demo. No, not the Overdark demo. Crap. In fact, that's the video I'm playing. I'm playing the video of the Overdark demo. Overdark got delayed. Again, probably not, should not be a big surprise. But they definitely waited until the last minute to say anything. It was supposed to be out yesterday, I believe, in Europe. And then sometime next week for us here in the States. And I guess they passed Sony's certification. They did everything they were supposed to do. And then internally, it seems, they found some issues that caused the game to get delayed. And so let's just go over here and see what they had to say on their tweet. 1 second to bring that up. All right, here it is. The folks over at Nox Noctis said, "Hello, everyone. We have to inform you that yesterday during the review of the gold version of Overdark, we identified some aspects that we want to refine to deliver the best gaming experience for PSVR 2. We understand that this may be frustrating, and we sincerely apologize for it. However, the slight delay is necessary to ensure that Overdark is launched in the manner that Nox Noctis needs. We are incredibly proud of the game. We've developed and are confident that the wait will be worthwhile. In the meantime, stay tuned for the announcement of the new release date, which will come with exciting new content and updates." Happy, yeah, okay, good. They're good. Miles, I got to give a shout out to Nox Noctis for doing something that a lot of developers don't do. So many developers would just push that shit out and say, "Oh, there's a problem. Yeah, we'll get a patch out in a couple days." Instead, they delayed the release of the entire game. And you know, whether this game ends up being great or not so great, we won't know until we play it. I definitely give them props for doing what's necessary for us to have the correct first impression.
I think that devs are just hopefully all understanding that the community has a close eye on stuff. There's been a reputation of stuff being launched that's not ready. And so first impressions are super important. And if you have a game that is polished, you get credit for that. People appreciate that because people are literally sticking their head inside your game. Like they're living it, like they are looking at it, they're living that experience. It's so important. And so look, I welcome this news. Good for them communicating this, and we will play it when it's ready. But I know there's, you know, other games that have been delayed. Madison VR is, yep, just over the horizon. And actually, it was confirmed on Twitter a few days ago that it is going to have foveated rendering.
I think I mentioned this on Wednesday's show. Many fucking sirens, dude. I'm going to lose my shit. somebody commented and said it's fucking noise pollution at this point. And they're right, man. They're right. It's just sirens all fucking day if you live near where I live. I think we need to get... Can we just end the show? This is fucking awful. We need to be clear about what we mean by this, because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Arizona Sunshine 2 also said they used foveated rendering, and it was not dynamic foveated rendering. So just the edges of your lenses were always in low res in order to keep the frame rate up, which was still being reprojected. So So we need to make sure that we're asking the right questions. Dynamic foveated rendering rather than just simple standard foveated rendering.
Yeah. There is also they've spoken about this on their socials, that, you know, there have been creators that have been able to experience it early. Mm-hmm. And so we should be any day now be hearing impressions. But murmurings I have seen online is that people basically teasing about playing a really, really scary game, but not saying what the scary game is. They do then go on to say that it looks really good in the headset. So
good to hear.
I mean, it's good to hear. And, you know, anyway, the reason I brought this up was it's obviously been delayed again and again, and it feels like it's just around the corner. So
yeah, props to all the studios doing the right things these days. You know, like Hellsweeper came out and it was just like embarrassing.
Oh, God.
You know, I mean, that was just the first one that came to mind. There's so many games that have come out that have just been embarrassing that should never have launched in the way they are. You know, and then people like us, like, we'll finish them in the state that they're in and then never go back to and actually play the game that we were meant to get originally. These you know, patches that take months and months and months and months to come out. Absolutely fucking inexcusable at this point. Delay your game, do what has to be done, because we're fucking tired of this shit. We deserve better. Speaking of deserving better, this is an awful segue, by the way, because
love it.
Yeah, because
I can't wait to hear where this goes.
we played the new Walkabout Mini Golf DLC. It's the new DLC for the Evil Lair. Yeah, were you a fan? It's called Ice Lair.
Ice Lair. This was so good. This was so good. I love the penguins. Like, they are hilarious.
Yeah.
What did you think? Did you not like them?
I mean, I saw a penguin staring at me, and I went over and tried to take him out because I was worried that, you know, that they were here because of you. I was like, are the penguins revolting? Are they attacking? Are they seeking revenge on Without Parole for your actions during the Kayak VR stream?
That's a good point. I didn't think of that. Because obviously I've wiped it from my conscience, but yeah.
The fact that I couldn't walk up to these penguins and punt them across the room with my golf club, 0 out of 10. 0 out of 10. Horrible DLC.
I did think they looked like puffins. Oh, are they meant to be puffins?
I think so, yeah.
Everyone's saying they're puffins. So I want to say something, right? When I started playing this, I thought they were puffins. I thought they looked like puffins, and I thought maybe it's just the animation style. Like, maybe they're meant to be penguins. But I'm not going to say puffins because that would be, like, insulting the devs. But people have just told me they are puffins. So there we go. All right. Feel vindicated. So the puffins in it. I'm so glad. All day I was like, I'm pretty sure those were puffins. The puffins in it are so mischievous. I just love the charm of these games. And I love just the jokes that they include. And most importantly, the opening of the game is epic. I'm not going to say anything. You'll discover it yourself. I think it's got a really great opening. And
yeah, I guess I probably should have warned everybody that, like, you know, if you're watching the footage, some stuff will be spoiled for you. So be aware.
That's all right. Yeah. Dude, every time we talk about Walkabout Mini Golf, because I'm never looking at the VT, I'm always saying, I'm not going to talk about this. And you always go, oh, it's on the trailer right now. or whatever,
as we speak.
But the mechanic they include in it is really good, right?
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about the mechanic, because like, and again, if you feel like this is spoilers, then don't be listening. It is interesting because I do feel like they do find a way to introduce at least one new mechanic into each piece of DLC that's come out recently, right? I mean, even like 20,000 Leagues Under the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea had the vents that like pulled, you know, that like sucked the ball in and then shot it out somewhere else. It was Journey to the Center of the Earth had the flashlights and then the rising water. You know, Upside Town had played with gravity. I mean, almost every piece of DLC that comes out does something new and something special. Even like when it came to like, is it Alfheim? Where it was, you know, just the curvature of the different holes meant that you played the game in a different way than you did before. And this one, being an ice layer, clearly uses ice mechanic a lot. And I guess it does it in two ways, right? The first way is that half of the course is literally played on ice, and so your ball slides everywhere. And the other one, and I can't wait to hear your opinion about the other one, is that there are ice ray machines that if your ball goes under it, it will turn your ball will be enclosed in an ice cube, like a literal cube of ice.
It looks so good.
It looks so good, and then but then your ball also suddenly plays like you're putting a cube of ice down the course.
Yep.
What did you think of that?
So that mechanic I really liked, except I ruined my par score when you get the ice cube onto the green.
Mm-hmm.
And even if people feel this is minor spoilering, obviously you'll be switched off now already by that. But I think experiencing it is the magic. The hitting it on the ice when it's the ice cube feels great, but then when it hits the green, it's it's the friction you feel, dude. The way they've done that is fucking amazing. Like the way that mechanic, you genuinely feel the friction, and like it's not just like you hit it and it's randomly going to be stubborn. There's a real sense of like, yeah, you're hitting it on grass and it's just not, it's not able to.
Right.
I don't know. You sort of keep chipping it. And I think it's really well designed, really well designed, whilst at the same time being so effing annoying because I'm rubbish with it. I agree.
In fact, like I got to a certain point on the normal difficulty where I was like, I think I've seen enough of this mechanic. Like it would have been cool for a few holes here and there as like a gimmick, but they actually designed a lot of the holes around this and. And I feel like, you know, again, please remember where my state of mind is today. I didn't want something that was different or anything else. I think it's something that I'll actually really appreciate once I get used to it and play it a few more times with friends. Because again, playing it by myself, that's not the way to play Walkabout. But I still had a lot of fun with it, and I saw the strategy in it. I saw like just, you know, the innovation in it, and I absolutely love the sound that the ice cube makes when it drops into the hole. They obviously captured the sounds of dropping ice into a glass, and that's the sound of the ball going in the hole, and I kind of love it.
I didn't think that potting a ball could sound any more satisfying in this game, but it does. It does.
Yeah.
Really, really, really do like that. But I was annoyed when I hit the max par on one of them because I was just like, no, I want to play the hard mode afterwards. And I never got to because I didn't get it under par. But there's one bit where you go into a room and I turn behind me and there's a load of puffins standing blocking the door. Mm-hmm. And I realize that's the door I just come in. So like the animations they bring in as you're moving around, and some of the rooms are just massive and awe-inspiring. And they also have a really cool course that's on a really big, it feels like you're playing on an ice rink. It's really wide space. And Looper with the €2 just said, it made me want ice hockey VR so bad. It's really satisfying in that way. So look, once again, it just shows you how amazing Mighty Coconuts are at not just developing new worlds, but also new mechanics and keeping this game interesting. And the quality of the game is just improving. Like, I didn't think it, well, of course I knew it could be improved, but there was a real sense at the beginning of like, if they just keep doing this, I'll keep buying DLCs. But now it's like, no, literally the DLCs are just getting better and better in the mechanics as well as the aesthetics.
I'll tell you what I want. What I really, really want.
My Chemical Romance course.
Yes. Although we were talking in voice chat earlier today. We want Nightmare Before Christmas. Because even the art style, like, I think would go well with the low poly art style of Walkabout. Yes. Like, so much stuff in Nightmare Before Christmas is angular. And so I think that would work really well. No, what I want is eventually, you know, Mighty Coconuts introduce all these different mechanics for all these different courses. I want them to like create a course that's a hodgepodge of all of it. And so it's doing the ice stuff, it's doing the gravity stuff, it's doing the thing. And so like on one hole, maybe you deal with like two or three different mechanics that they've, you know, introduced over the course. Like I want them to bring it all together and just be like Walkabout World course where it's just 18 That'd holes be a of great- fucking chaos.
Yeah, that'd be a great anniversary course. Like, yeah. Even though it's been years since it came out, like, if they did it for, like, the 50th course or something like that. I mean, I say that. It's like, yeah, they'll get there in no time. The amount of courses there are just absolutely incredible. But, yeah, we also got news today about another course that's coming out in the summer.
That's right. Take it away.
Wallace and Gromit. Have you ever watched Wallace and Gromit?
I've seen Wallace and Gromit. I'm not a fan. When I saw this news, I was like, oh, I would have gone for some Shaun the Sheep.
Shaun the Sheep.
I like Shaun the Sheep quite a bit. But Wallace and Gromit's good.
Did you watch the original Wallace and Gromit's, though, like the much shorter movies? Because obviously they have the full-length movies. But when I was a kid, every Christmas, we'd watch The Wrong Trousers. That was like, it was like a 20-minute, 30-minute piece. Dude,
you've got to watch it.
The Wrong Trousers, dude. Yep. That is an absolute classic. Watch it, because it has, I think that's the one with Shaun the Sheep, when they find a sheep and go, we're gonna call you Shaun, which is just amazing. It wasn't The Wrong Trousers, it was the next one. Like, oh man, what was the one afterwards? It was, I can't remember. But anyway, the fact that they're partnering up with Aardman, and Aardman in a former job I did work with for a bit, and went to their offices and got to stand next to these big Wallace and Gromit statues. They are a big part of British heritage because of what they've done with. They're going to do a collaboration with next. Like, yeah. Oh my goodness, you got a Xenomorph wearing the back bling of Superman's cape. That's ridiculous. Like all these like colliding worlds coming together. And I just feel like with Walkabout that what is the limit? Like what properties could they do? And Walkabout Mini Golf is so good. If VR does keep building across all these different platforms and Walkabout stays the course, it wouldn't surprise me if one day they did something at the size of like a Star Wars theme level. Do you know what I mean? Like that they are that good at what they do. And I think that this Wallace and Gromit stuff is excellent.
Yeah.
It also fits in with the quirkiness of the game that it is as well. I know it's like not one of the biggest properties when it comes to animation, mm-hmm. but the quirkiness of like the contraptions and stuff is going to work so well with this. So yeah, I'm super hyped.
I have to go back and actually watch more Sirens. I'll have to go back and watch some because you know, people in the chat were saying, oh, have you seen Chicken Run? And I like Chicken Run. I thought Chicken Run was really well done. And so, like, I'm probably not giving Wallace and Gromit enough credit because I seem to like everything else that they do. But yeah, I haven't really given Wallace and Gromit the time of day. So, but very cool announcement. Very cool announcement. And this DLC was great. So I think... Did you drop the mic? Is that what happened?
I was out. Could you hear it? So it didn't cancel that out. Yeah. By the way, I was looking up what it was after The Wrong Trousers. It was A Close Shave. Oh. That was in 1995. And then it was The Curse of the Were-Rabbit in 2005. And 2005 was like the first fully length. Because they do it all out of claymation themselves, so it takes such a long time to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, the wrong trousers and a close shave. I'm pretty sure, if I'm not misremembering, they're like 20, 30 minutes each, and they are absolute classics. Used to watch them every Christmas. Nice. So yeah.
Fantastic. Well, great news all around. All right, Miles. We're making some good time here. I say we play some 20 questions and call it a day.
All right, dude. 20 questions it is.
You got a game picked out while I listen to some sirens?
I could pick out a game.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
More sirens.
You need to get a siren canceling microphone.
Yeah. Microphone, sure. But what about for like my head? Can I get surgery on my ears for noise canceling ears?
They'll soon have some like in ear like that take out the AI will take out the sirens. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking nonsense, dude. Like, I mean, I want to just jump out the fucking window some days.
All right, I've got a game, Brian.
Okay. Well, in that case, let's make sure we put 6 minutes up on the clock up on the counter the way that Jeremy likes it. Guys, remember, we have 20 yes or no questions in only 6 minutes to figure out what game I was thinking of. Let's put that shit up right now. God, I can't wait for this episode to be over. I haven't said that in a very long time. Oh, my God. On your mark. Get Dez. Go. Miles, is this on... Wait, what are questions? Is this on PSVR 2?
It is, Brian.
Okay, was it also on PSVR 1?
No.
Okay. Do you, let's talk about guns. You shoot a lot in this game, guns?
No.
Okay. Looper, that's a good question. Did it come out this year, 2024?
No.
Okay. Was it a launch game?
No.
Okay. We're narrowing things down quite a bit. Not launch, not 2024. All right. So we're shrinking down. Okay. Let's see. If it's not really about shooting, let's figure out what we are doing. Are there weapons in this game?
No.
Okay. Not shooting. No weapons. Would you call it a puzzle game?
Yeah. Seven.
Okay. Yeah, it sounded like Red Matter 2 to me. I don't know about you guys. Oh, but there's no shooting in it. So it's not Red Matter 2, because that does have shooting. And it can't be Red Matter 1, because it wasn't on PSVR 1. I mean, it was. This wasn't. Is there any horror element to this game?
No.
No horror. All right. Would you call this narrative driven?
No. Nine.
No horror. Not narrative driven. Would you put this in the... Is there multiplayer in it?
Yes.
Okay, well, there goes... Somebody may have suggested TOS. It can't be TOS. No multiplayer.
Such a shame.
Yeah.
Such a shame.
It's actually, yeah, the multiplayer in TOS looks good. It's too bad they're not going to bring it over here, those jerks. Okay. Puzzling Places was a launch title, I believe, you guys, right? I think. I could be wrong.
Can't believe they've not got multiplayer yet either. That's annoying. I was really excited for that.
Yeah, we're getting left in the dark. GameCat Chicago saying it's Legendary Tales, but didn't that come out this year? Wasn't that 2024? That was one of our early questions. I could be wrong. Barbaria is definitely multiplayer in a sense, so we didn't get the indication that it's not. Do you operate any vehicles in this game?
No.
Okay, no vehicles. It's a puzzle game. Okay, is this also playable on the flat screen?
No.
Okay.
One second. No.
All right. There's no multiplayer, 12. So it can't be Among Us. It can't be Vetrix because there's no multiplayer. Multiplayer is a big part of Vetrix. Good guesses, though, guys. Good guesses. Keep it coming.
I said there was multiplayer.
I wrote down no multiplayer. Shit. So there's multiplayer. That changes a lot of shit.
There was a lot of puzzles with without multiplayer that people stopped.
Is this a Tetris style game?
It is. I mean, I'm giving it away now.
did you mention the name of this game during the show?
Yeah.
Is this Vetrix Worlds?
It is Vetrix Worlds, Brian. Woo-hoo! Yeah. And Evan Yabu in the chat was the first one to get it. So well
way
done
to go,
you,
Evan. Oh yeah, I played this with Wes for a little bit before one of our West Day shows, and I actually had a lot of fun doing this in multiplayer. I'm really happy. When you mentioned it earlier in the show today, I was really happy that, like, you know, you said you keep going back to it because this looks like a game that I really want to. I want to get back to. I'm glad it has some lasting appeal, and definitely huge, like, top contender for an upcoming Brian Bite for sure.
Dude, there's a mechanic in it that I didn't appreciate until the devs told me, which is that if you play the levels where there are like sort of power-ups that come in at the top, like coins and stuff, and you've got to like get them all. The devs were like, you can start building from the top going down. So it's not that you just got to build high up to get rid of them. You can start sticking the blocks to the ceiling just to remove those lines. But then you start building from both sides and it gets a bit iffy in the middle. But it's like, it's a really cool mechanic. And it's really fun to play multiplayer. And the last thing I'll say about it is it makes you do so much weird twisting with your wrists, because even though you can do a twist button or just drop it and pick up again, you always go, no, I'm just going to...
Yep. I do the exact same thing. Yep.
I've just pulled a muscle in my neck doing that.
Fox Die Infected with the €2 says, have a nice weekend, everybody.
Same to you.
You have a nice weekend, too. Thank you, Miles, for being here. Thank you, everybody, who helps the channel run. As you guys know, we have the most amazing community of all time. We got the best mods of all time. And we got Rhodey putting timestamps into the show after the fact. Say hi to Rhodey for me tomorrow, Miles. Have a good time watching or listening to some country music.
Some country music.
We also got Rypop, who uploads this thing to podcast services of your choice. Everybody who helps this channel financially, we appreciate you so very much on patreon.com/withoutparolegames, over here by being a member, or everyone who tips during the show, or people that I've told not to tip. Stop. Don't tip. I've had to tell somebody not to tip today. I was like, fucking take care of yourself first. This is just how amazing the community is, man. Even people who are like struggling, like still want to help you out. It's like, no. I see you in the comments. I see you in the chat. I love you guys so very much. You do not have to give me money to show how much you care. I'm just happy that you're here. And that's what we say all the time. We're just happy that you're here in the chat. We're happy that you're here hanging out. You being entertained is the most important thing. Money is always secondary. So thank you to everybody who hangs out and watch the show. And all those who hang out, watch the show, and don't say a goddamn word. We know you're out there and we love you just as much. Happy Friday, Miles.
Happy Friday, Brian. Happy Friday, Game Cats. Have a wonderful weekend. And we'll see you soon.
Let's go. All right, Miles, we've got...
Please don't tell me you've got all of them done in hole-in-ones.
No. I think that's 4D. 4D is always putting those compilations together and putting so much time and effort into it. And you know what? When we're even concerned about spoiling just the mechanics of the game,
true.
You know, the last time he had done one, I said, listen, like... We don't want to play it because we don't want to spoil it for everybody. And you know, and we just ask people to come and go check out the clip of the week section if they want to see the cool hole in one compilation. So no, however, Miles, watch this one with me. I didn't even put it in the run of show. I just downloaded it just now. So hopefully, hopefully we get this right. Clip of the week this week is something very, I feel like just so legendary tales. It's about as legendary tales gets. Miles, check this one out. It's from March 5th, 7:54 p.m. This was submitted by Izzard, and it's fucking hilarious. Let's watch.
So, can we land on that chest? Go on then, after you.
I'm not sure I will land on it.
Nope.
I'm going to go down the road and see if I can.
Just kidding.
That's gonna be a clip.
I'm gonna go back up now.
The only thing that would have made that clip better is if he'd actually stolen the treasure chest from jumping all the way down,
or if it was a mimic.
That would have been a great ending.
At first, it was gonna be, because it happened with me when there was a chest down a hole. And the dev was like, no, it'll be all right. And I went down there, and it was a mimic. And then, like, you and Johnny were playing with just heard me screaming, going, get me out! And I'm trying to come up the rope while it's, like, chomping away. Man, I need to get back to that game for sure.
Yeah. Dude, so perfect, though. So perfect. Somebody is always somebody playing cautiously and trying to climb down, right? And the other person just jumps down. I love, my favorite part of that video is when he turns around and looked and saw the guy still like so high up on the rope, like he had a long way to go. He's like, I'll change.
Yeah.
So good. So good. All right, you guys. Thank you all again. We have one more tip. I saw it come in. Ace Gamer, the Game Cat ranks at $13.37. Says, shut up and take my money. I will now. Shut up. Have a great weekend.